WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. President Trump spoke today with Russian President Vladimir Putin on the negotiations with Ukraine.
President Trump called his phone call with Russian President Putin very good and productive. The president posting on social media that the two leaders agreed to what he says is an immediate pause on strikes on energy and infrastructure sites, with an understanding that they'll work quickly to have a complete ceasefire. A White House readout of the Trump-Putin phone call did not indicate any commitment from Russia to the 30-day truce accepted by Ukraine last week. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
Once again, a little cutie pie tops the list of the country's most popular dogs. ABC's Sherry Price.
The American Kennel Club has just released the nation's top three dog breeds. Not a whole lot different from the last few years. The third most popular dog in America, the Golden Retriever. Number two most popular, the Labrador Retriever. And the most popular dog in the country these days is, once again, the French Bulldog.
Mexico City lawmakers vote overwhelmingly to ban violent bullfighting. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Early voting begins today in Madison. We've got more than 40 spots across the city where you can cast your ballot early. Often there are no lines and you do not have to go to a specific location. It's not like Election Day where you can only vote at your precinct's polling place. If you live in the city of Madison, you can vote early at any of these locations. Plus, drop boxes are now open, so if you got an absentee ballot in the mail, you can now put it in those drop boxes, and pairs of sworn election officials are emptying them every day. Madison's election operations are currently being overseen by City Attorney Michael Haas, widely regarded as one of the most experienced election experts in Wisconsin. And yesterday, police had to evacuate the Walmart in Sun Prairie because of a bomb threat. It happened at about 4:30 in the afternoon. An employee found a note with this bomb threat on it, and they called police right away. Authorities got everybody out of the store, and they did a thorough search, but they didn't find anything suspicious. The store reopened about 2 hours later. Now, police are searching for a suspect. And remember that man who set a Wisconsin congressman's office on fire during the few hours TikTok was inactive in the U.S.? Now his attorneys say he's not responsible because of mental health issues. Lisa Hale has more.
A psychiatric evaluation has been ordered for 19-year-old Caden Stakowitz of Menasha after he pleaded not guilty and not guilty because of mental disease or defect Monday on charges that he set fire to U.S. Representative Glenn Grothman's Fond du Lac office in January. If Stakowitz goes to trial with the not guilty because of mental disease plea, the jury would first determine if he's guilty. And then if he is, a second phase of the trial would determine if he suffers from mental disease. Stakowitz's next appearance in court will be a status conference May 12th.
That's Lisa Hale, and I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is 92.7 WMDX News.
A setback for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks' backup center, Jericho Sims, will be out for at least a month. Sims had surgery yesterday in New York after suffering torn ligaments in his right thumb. It happened early Saturday night against the Pacers. Sims, after the game, his right hand all taped up.
It happened the first few seconds I was in. I got caught on another player when I was cutting him off. Physical is just boxing out. I mean, that's something that we usually are good at, but, you know, it's certain teams. We tend to struggle with.
The Bucks open a five-game road trip tonight against Golden State. March Madness, the Wisconsin Badgers head to Denver for their game Thursday afternoon against Montana. Marquette will face New Mexico in Cleveland on Friday night. Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Padres 14-8 out in Arizona. Infielder Bryce Terang sitting out with a sore shoulder. For now, it looks like Joey Ortiz will start at shortstop on opening day. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly cloudy and mild today with high temperatures reaching 60 degrees. However, we're still in a high fire danger. So the rain on the way is much needed. It'll move in early tomorrow morning, where we could see some thunderstorms. Winds will also become breezy, and the rain becomes all snow late at night. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 61.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Many of the supporters of Trump voted on good faith and said, look, he says some crazy things, but you know what? He at least is telling me he's going to help my family and bring down the price on my heating bill. And that ain't what they're getting. What they're getting back is a political middle finger. And we're staring a recession straight in the face. And Donald Trump does not care. Because at the end of the day, this was one big grift.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, LoveLost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo-matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at LoveLost.com.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll discuss the upcoming April 1st election with our friends Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio and Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can be a big part anytime. Join us on the lines or on the text stream, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Jess P.S. taking the day off today. She promises she'll be back tomorrow. Aaron Z. Zommers, man, stepping in. Thank you, Aaron. Welcome to the show, man. I appreciate you helping out.
Yeah, for sure. Happy to step in.
No, it's going to be a fun day. It's the day after St. Paddy's Day. I mean, is anybody really getting anything done? I'm just curious about that. Plus, we got March Madness starting up soon. People are filling their brackets out. I mean, I think production is going really down really fast here in this country. But that's okay. We gotta play, too. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy.
You know, a good way to avoid a post-St. Paddy's Day hangover is to eat too much corned beef. That's what I did, so I didn't have any room for Guinness.
See, I love corned beef, man. I wasn't always a fan. A good friend of mine, his mother prepared some of the best stuff, and now we got some recipes. My wife makes them good. I've really come a long ways with my love of corned beef. But you know, the other thing that really gets me is the green beer. I mean, really, you know, you got to die. I mean, and Chicago does the river, and everyone gets their teeth and their tongue all green from the beer. It's a little silly. I did not partake in any green beer, but Maggie did leave a Guinness for me yesterday. Split it with Jess.
How nice.
In honor. Yeah, wasn't that nice? And so thank you, Maggie. And folks, don't worry. Maggie and I are going to start doing our thing again next week. Schedule's a little crazy this week. On Monday, I will go on Maggie's show at 3:30. And then on Tuesday, she'll come around this fine program from 4 until 4:30. So we'll catch up with Maggie Dawn starting again next week. So thank you for that. I know it's a lot of fun and people respond positively to that. I get to hang out with Maggie, so it's always good. You know, as we're preparing for the show today, the amount of news, the amount of information coming out, and it's consequential. You know, it's not just words on a page. Like, things are happening on a state level, the local level, certainly, and then of course on a national level, an international level. Lots of intrigue, lots of challenges between the co-equal branches of government, and who's saying what, and who's impeaching who, and you know, who's gonna win, who's gonna lose. Well, unfortunately, when this kind of stuff goes on, I think we all kind of lose, but I guess this is what we voted for. But there are some very specific issues that actually aren't too sexy, but I think are pretty serious and are kind of damning. And I think we need to start there. And of course we'll get to Brad Schimmel, another Trump and Kirk, and not James T. Kirk, man, the bad Kirk. Charlie Kirk in Wisconsin stumping for Brad Schimmel. If that tells you everything you need to know about who to vote for, yes, her name is Susan Crawford. And John Nichols over at the Cap Times writes an article today. We'll probably get there as well. You know, reminiscing about the debate when Schimmel was called Elon Schimmel. I think I love it, man. Everything with the money in the politics, and certainly the money in this race, as we reported on yesterday, Wisconsin Democracy Campaign is estimating that this Wisconsin Supreme Court race will run in excess of $100 million, man. It's a Dr. Evil election. And of course, we're going to continue on this conversation. The angry Dems, man, Dems are angry. We got a struggle going on. We got all the House Dems, save one, voted against this quote unquote continuing resolution. That gets over to the Senate. Yeah, well, the leadership over there, including Chuck Schumer, they decided to go for it. And there's the blowback from that, and it's continuing. And I'm still having conversations privately with friends and family in this regard. They're bringing it up to me. So it's obviously things the folks want to talk about. And of course, Donald Trump and his battles with the courts. One judge inquiring as to the specifics of whether or not his order was violated when he ordered the planes to turn back that were apparently filled of Honduran, Venezuelan gang members going not to Venezuela. We're going to get to that as well, and how this Department of Justice and how this administration is viewing their battles with the justice, with the courts. Let's put it that way. So much so that, hell, even Chief Justice John Roberts, man, he got into it today as well. And you mentioned, Aaron, that as you were expecting nothing to happen, the fact that Roberts said something, it seems kind of positive, right?
Yeah, I mean, with the Supreme Court ruling that Trump can do pretty much anything he wants, I was really expecting radio silence from them. I'm glad to see that at least today, Chief Justice John Roberts is standing up for democracy.
He said something. Well, he's standing up. And this, we're going to get into it, because I agree with you. At first, I was like, oh, this is, at least it's a comment. It's pushing back. But the Atlantic, some authors over there are also bringing up what they're pushing back about. We're going to get there as well. So much to get to. So we appreciate you folks hanging out with us today. Join us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. So let's start. I know a few folks in this fine audience remember it all, but, you know, I used to work on a farm, and I tell that story all the time. It's like when I was growing up, my father would tell me all the time, you know, the dad jokes and the dad stories. I do this and do it, and I enjoy doing it. That's why I keep on doing it. Pa used to tell me, oh, I used to work for 50 cents an hour bagging groceries when he was a teenager. He told me that story until the day he died. 50 cents an hour. So my version of my dad's story is I used to work on my neighbor's farm when I was growing up. And I am very specific to point out I did not live on a farm. I worked on my neighbor's farm. And if you've ever worked in farming or lived in farming or anywhere around farming, some folks really love it. Some folks really not so much. As one who worked on my neighbor's farm, I didn't have to be there 24/7. So, and when you grow up in that environment, man, it's work, and you can't escape it till you're 18. I mean, it is literally your family. It's a family business. Let's put it that way. And this was a dairy farm, and we had about 110 milking cows, and had the calves and the heifers and the whole thing. So it was a huge operation, several barns, and now it's just a park, like it never happened. And although it was not an agricultural farm, I can certainly appreciate it. Drove the tractors, got up in the morning, you know, did the things, baled the hay, all that, right? So I have, as you can imagine, an affinity and respect and appreciation for farming, man. It is a tough job, and somebody's got to do it. And I decided long ago that would not be me. It was great. I can't believe it let me operate that machinery. I can't believe I still have all my fingers and toes, because there's a lot of moving parts on a farm. You know what I'm saying? I mean, these are some expensive, big tractors and machinery, and, man, chains, links, blades, blowers. Could be dangerous. Why do I bring all that up? Because it's a tough gig, and of course we need farmers. We need the food, right? Or do we? The Milwaukee Journal reports, Madeline Heim, the title, Trump administration cancels program that paid Wisconsin farmers to grow for food pantries.
America first.
I mean, what? Don't need the food. And it's a little lengthy. I'm going to read into it a little bit. Tony Evers' comments on the end of this. We're not going to get to the entirety of it, but it makes you wonder, is this what the people voted for? When you voted for Mega Donald Trump, did you think that he was going to end farmers getting paid to grow food for the food pantries? I don't know. As the Journal Sentinel reports, you know, making it personal, get to know some folks here. Over the past 2 years, Christy Allen sent around 3,000 pounds of honey to the St. Croix Valley Food Bank in northwest Wisconsin. Allen runs the Bee's Knees in Burnett County, where she sells honey and bees and teaches beekeeping classes. I love bees, man. Bees are the coolest thing, especially honeybees. Never kill the bees, folks. Always help the bees, like the spiders. Always help them. She participated in the Wisconsin Local Food Purchase Assistance Program, which paid Wisconsin farmers to produce food for local pantries and other organizations working to combat hunger. Without the program, she said, she couldn't have afforded to give that much honey to a food bank. She was paid $25,000 the first year and $15,000 the second year to do so. Now, it wasn't just a financial win. It was also a gratifying one, too. She got a handwritten note from a woman across the state who had received her honey and wanted to express gratitude for Allen's hard work. And if you ever had homemade honey, man, that stuff is so good. It is. It's not even right. It's like it's heaven. Back to the article. On March 7th, the U.S. Department of Agriculture terminated the program, which was part of a nationwide effort to support local farmers, feed under-resourced communities, and increase the resiliency of the food supply chain. I got an idea. Let's stop that. Let's not support local farmers. Let's not feed under-resourced communities. Let's not increase the resiliency of the food supply chain, because that's what Trump's doing. In the letter canceling the program, USDA WB Administrator Jack Tuckwiller wrote that it, quote, no longer effectuates agency priorities. No longer effectuates priorities. No longer a priority to support local farmers. No longer a priority to feed under-resourced communities. No longer a priority to increase the resiliency of the food supply chain. During the 23-24 growing season, 289 Wisconsin farms participated in the program, providing $4.2 million worth of food to more than 250 pantries and schools, according to a news release about the termination from the Wisconsin Farmers Union, which was a program partner. Using the money from the program, Allen, the beekeeper, was able to hire a part-time employee with her help with the physically demanding work of beekeeping. With that income now disappearing, she's unsure if she can keep that person on. Yeah, there's a jobs component to this as well, right? This idea that there's waste, fraud, and abuse, there was no evidence of that, Allen said, referring to Donald Trump's push to drastically reduce the size and reach of the federal government. Having a dependable market that supports a healthy society seems like a no-brainer to me. Yeah, and to me too, and probably most of you listening to my voice right now. $4.2 million worth of food, 289 farms, 250 pantries, and school. This program no longer effectuates agency priorities. So it is not Donald Trump's USDA agency priority to support local farmers. It is not their priority to feed under-resourced communities. It is not their priority to increase the resiliency of the food supply chain. And for what? To save $4 million? Maybe? Maybe? Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. And this doesn't happen just here in the state of Wisconsin. Raw Story reporting similar issues going on over in New Mexico as well with their job banks. Come back with us. Governor Tony Evers has comments on this. I want to get your comments as well. Should it be the priority of the USDA to do those kinds of things? Should somebody? You know, Trump doesn't want to. Come back with us, 855-752-4842.
A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
The 1849 ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is squat about that, man?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is squat about that, man?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is flawed about that?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
Herbal Aspect has landed. That's right. Madison's go-to cannabis destination now has a brand new location in Sun Prairie.
Wait, four locations? That's a high level of convenience.
With three Madison locations and now Sun Prairie, a great cannabis experience is always close by. Our expert staff is here to help, whether you walk in, call, or order online. Mention Radio 420 and get a special discount. So stop by Herbal Aspect in Sun Prairie, because great cannabis isn't just a pipe dream.
Nice. I'm rolling over now.
Herbal Aspect.
32 flavors? No artificial flavors or colors? How do I choose?
Easy. Order one, then come back 31 more times.
Frosty's, West Madison's new ice cream spot, 702 South Gammon Road.
Spring is here. Make your lawn the envy of the neighborhood with EB3 Landscaping. With 15 years of top quality service, they treat your property like their own. 608-209-2185 for expert care and a vibrant tomorrow.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Dancing on the crumbling precipice. And welcome back to the Dom Selby Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Join us on the lines, on the text stream as well. We're talking about, you know, feeding people, employing farmers, supply food, supply chains, you know, the very important things that this administration thinks are just not worth it anymore. Again, referring to an article here at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Trump administration cancels program that paid Wisconsin farmers to grow for food pantries. Just a little bit more on here. I want to put a bow on this. Let me know if you have any thoughts. 855-752-4842. Now, this particular program, which, again, the new Trump-appointed USDA deputy administrator said that it no longer effectuates agency priorities. And I will say it again and again and again, those priorities. What are the priorities, right? Well, you got to have a stable food supply, right? An increased resiliency of it. You have to feed under-resourced communities and support local farmers. And there's jobs here as well. We're talking about $4 million, 250 farmers. 250 pantries with hundreds of farmers. Now, a little bit more in this. The program was seen as a win-win by those who used it. A win-win. Well, let's get rid of the win-wins, right? That's efficient. The win-win. Visitors to food pantries got fresh, nutritious food, and farmers got a stable source of cash to help meet their bottom line. How's this any different than subsidizing the farmers in any other way? You know what I'm saying? Some of Wisconsin's major food banks, like Feeding Wisconsin and Milwaukee's Hunger Task Force, participated, supplying the fresh food to their own networks of pantries. Jackie Anderson, executive director of Feeding Wisconsin, said in the news release that the elimination of the program was especially disheartening during a time of significantly increased need for food bank services. Now, here's a statistic that just kind of blew my mind. I guess I don't think about it, but here we go. More than 617,000 Wisconsin residents are food insecure, according to Feeding America. 617,000 Wisconsin residents are food insecure. And this administration wants to prevent that, stop them from getting access to the food through this program. The reporting continues. The food pantry at Stepping Stones of Dunn County used the program to provide about 50,000 pounds of food for its clients. Said the pantry manager, Angie Wolf, including apples, lettuce, corn, radishes, beets, fresh beef, and pork. Well, no Diet Cokes there. Like the statewide hunger statistics, need for its service has increased. The pantry feeds more than 11% of Dane County, which is one of the poorer counties in Wisconsin and largely rural. Well, just think about this for a minute. 617,000 Wisconsinites are food insecure. This particular pantry in Dunn County feeds more than 11% of the residents. 11%. The benefits of being able to provide its clients with fresh, healthy food was enormous, Wolf said, and being able to pay local farmers for their work was meaningful. If the pantry can afford to continue that going forward, she said, it will be at a much smaller scale. To build the program up and then take it away has been pretty devastating, she said. Yeah, people rely on this. They budget on this, as indicated in the next paragraph here. Besides financial support for farmers, the program also taught them about how to expand to bigger markets. Tenzin Botsford runs Red Door Family Farm in Athens, a small village near Wausau. He used the program to scale up his farm's operation and ensure a steady supply of peppers, tomatoes, cilantro, carrots, and other vegetables to United Way of Marathon County's Hunger Coalition, including culturally important foods for the area's Hmong and Hispanic populations. Uh-oh, that's where they got into trouble, right? When Botsford received word that the program had been canceled, he'd already bought seeds and started to plant. He had already bought the seeds and started to plant. The loss will put a significant dent in his income. Yeah, I'll just willy-nilly pull it. Ah, too bad. So sad. Sucks for you. That's what you get for relying on the government. Well, at least Republican government. Almost 40% of the producers picked to receive funding last year were Black, Indigenous, and other people of color. More than half were new or beginning farmers, and 42% of the farms were woman-owned. Ah, see, that was the problem right there. Not middle-aged white men farmers? Not all that? More than 40% receiving funding last year were Black, Indigenous, and other people of color. More than half were new or beginning farmers, and 42% were women-owned. It was in part aimed at giving historically marginalized groups leg up in the world of agriculture, which remains overwhelmingly white and male. Now, the money for the program was to be used up in June, but advocates were hoping it wouldn't be the end of the road. Responding to the termination, Governor Tony Evers said the Trump administration was turning their backs on America's dairyland and betraying our farmers. Yeah, wait until the retaliatory tariffs come in. Then you'll really know what betraying our farmers is all about. The USDA said it can't. USDA has said the program's current contracts can be finished and that it will be canceled after that. It's unconscionable to me to drop the ball that hard for people who are living on such thin margins, the farmer Botsford said. It breaks my heart, and it really makes me wonder how much pain is going to end up being caused by trying to do politics this way. Madeline Heim reporting at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And they're going after the food pantries and farmers for $4 million. I mean, how much money do we spend every time Donald Trump goes golfing?
I believe $3 million. I might be misremembering that number. It certainly isn't lower.
And he's golfed multiple times. In fact, the guy works out of the office quite a bit. He's not, you know, he's not at the shop at the crappy White House, man. He's out in Mar-a-Lago a lot, right? I mean, he gets mad at everybody else for working remote. What does he do? So when you put it in those kinds of contexts, how much Donald Trump we pay for Donald Trump to go golfing. And we're talking about a program here for 4 million people to keep the food rolling, man. We need the farmers. We need some consistent food supply. And we need to help people that don't have the resources. And what is it about this particular one, other than what I would consider the racial makeup of it, that perhaps, you know, got these Republicans all mad about it, than any other program supporting or subsidizing Wisconsin's or this country's farmers and food supplies? Why this one? Because I don't have the answer for it. Because it no longer effectuates the needs of the program. Thank you very much for that. Folks are listening to the Dom Salvia Show. F around to find out. That's what we got. And they're going to do this for what? $4 million? And maybe this, like some of these other cases, are going to end up being thrown out because, you know, Elon Musk and some of these agencies maybe don't have the authority that they thought they did. We got a lot of court cases rolling in. They're not going well necessarily for this administration and Congress, you know, just giving up their duties and, hell, let the president do it. We don't know. We love him. Yeah. What a mess we're in, folks. Come back with us. 855-752-4842. We got Trump Jr. and Charlie Kirk in town for Brad Schimmel. Go Susan Crawford. Come back with us.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. All this strong wind is contributing to wildfires across Wisconsin. We've had about 70 of them just over the last week. About 1,000 acres have burned so far. Today, Dane County sits at high fire danger, but some counties just a little farther north are at very high risk. In fact, the biggest wildfire is in Green Lake County. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot has more.
In the town of Seneca, the Big Island Fire has burned an estimated 745 acres. Crews were dispatched to the White River Marsh State Wildlife Area right around 4:30 in the afternoon. This is exactly when the winds were gusting up to 40 miles per hour, helping spread the fire, which is currently being held on the south side of County Road D. Two residents have been evacuated, with six structures threatened. The Wisconsin DNR also says that there have been no injuries and that the fire is under investigation. No DNR or private-approved prescribed burn was in the area at the start of the fire.
And just be aware that we're expecting rain and snow tomorrow. It starts in the afternoon. We could have thunder and lightning, even some hail. And near the Wisconsin-Illinois border, tornadoes are possible. Then into the evening, that rain may turn into snow. Here in Dane County, we might get 1 to 3 inches of snow by Thursday morning. Up toward Baraboo, they could get up to 6 inches. And the Trump administration has launched another investigation into UW-Madison over DEI initiatives. The president's Department of Education is looking into 45 universities across the country that participate in the PhD Project. Now, the PhD Project is a nonprofit program that works to recruit more people of color into doctorate programs. It limits eligibility based on race and ethnicity. It's at least the third investigation into or warning given to UW-Madison under the new Secretary of Education, Linda McMahon. I'm Savannah Tome Olson. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The late Gene Hackman did not mention his three children in his will, but they might still end up with some of his $80 million worth of assets. Hackman and his wife, Betsy Arakawa, passed away in late February under mysterious circumstances. Late last week, it was disclosed that Arakawa passed away from the hantavirus a week before her Oscar-winning husband. Authorities say Hackman suffered from Alzheimer's disease and couldn't take care of himself after his wife died, and as a result, passed away a week later. In Betsy's will, it was stated that she left her estate to various charities. Hackman, however, named Betsy as the recipient of his assets, essentially leaving his three now middle-aged children out in the cold, or so it would seem. As it turns out, due to Betsy's death, Hackman has no secondary beneficiaries, so it looks like his kids will be the recipient of their father's $80 million fortune after all. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy and mild today with high temperatures reaching 60 degrees. However, we're still in a high fire danger. So the rain on the way is much needed. It'll move in early tomorrow morning, where we could see some thunderstorms. Winds will also become breezy, and the rain becomes all snow late at night. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 62 degrees.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a three-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and in rare cases fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, Substack blogger Mike McCabe will join us on 3D Day.
That's right. We'll do the show in three dimensions.
Tune in.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
The sun beats down and a brand new day. No more will they tax the day.
Hey, welcome back to the Dom Salter Show. Phone lines are open, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It's a phone line, and it's a text line, and you texters are lighting it up. Let's get to a few of those texters while we have a moment. We appreciate you joining us and playing along. Sherry from Horicon, good afternoon, Dom and Aaron and my friends. Two exclamation points. Well, good afternoon, Sharon. Thank you for listening and playing along. Cindy from Appleton points out, come on, Dom. Why should we feed the poor? That's not a Christian value. You know, I thought they taught me something about that when I was at, you know, Catholic high school. I thought it was, Cindy, but, you know, maybe the book's changed since then. You know, there's lots of versions of it. Hell, Trump's even got his own version of it. AJ from Madison, are you kidding me? Millions of dollars for him to golf? This is so sick, and I feel like us Democrats are going to stand around and doing nothing. Well, we'll get in that perhaps in the next hour. AJ, appreciate you pointing out. Tom, our buddy from the leftist coast. Tom, you worked on a farm? Yeah, man. Oh, you didn't know? Yeah, I did for a short stint. I appreciate you playing along, man. I always laugh, so I think it's funny. But I guess I had to do a little Googling here during the break because someone mentioned like $3 million for Donald Trump. Was that you, Aaron? $3 million a pop, right?
Yeah, it averaged like $3.4 million per instance of going golfing.
And I did see somewhere about, what, 200, his last term. He ran, he golfed 290 rounds of golf in his first term. Now, if I took my 290 rounds of golf, and I can't quote my source, it's no longer in front of me, and applied that $3 million, AJ from Madison, you're going to love this. My math says if it was $3 million a pop last time around, like it is now, $870 million for Trump to golf. Is that right? That seems outrageous.
Probably a little less because the three and a half million, that includes flying Air Force One and the cargo plane that has the motorcade. So if okay. he's staying right. in Florida for a few days in a row, then not that much. But so if he has to fly back and forth, then yeah, $3.5 million every time.
Okay. Okay. So if he stays and does, you know, around Friday, Saturday, Sunday, just, you know, it's only per round it goes down because he's not taking Air Force One just around the block, presumably, right? So, okay, fair enough. But either way, if it's not $870 million, maybe it's a half a billion. Hey, Doge, maybe you want to get Trump to play some ping pong instead of going golfing. You know what I mean? Get the man an Xbox, man. You know? An Oculus, you know, play some VR. You don't got to go out there on the golf course for $3 million plus a pop. So it's hard for me to really think that these folks are serious but they are serious. Obviously, they're going through these efforts to slash what they consider wasteful spending, you know, feeding the poor with you know, beginning farmers and non-white male farmers start in an effort to, you know, keep the supply chain going and keep those pantries open and full of, you know, fresh food, not bags of chips and sodas and processed. I mean, this is farm food, yo. And in the meantime, this guy's going to spend $3+ million to go around to golf. And in their mind, that's totally cool, man. That's great. No worries. No waste there. When it's other people's money, man, no waste whatsoever. They're fine with that. When they're getting the benefit out of it, when Donald Trump is getting the benefit out of it, then no waste, no fraud, no abuse. But if the USDA changes their mind about what effectuates their policy and what doesn't, you know, to hell with you farmers in Wisconsin for $4 million. I mean, literally, man, just barely over a round of golf and this thing's paid for. But that's the kind of excess we're dealing with. I think that's twisted. I think that's super twisted. And I totally get it, man. I understand it costs money to, you know, protect, manage the president's schedule, regardless of who it is. I understand that. But damn, dude went golfing 290 times last time, and he's talking about us not working hard or people need to work more and pick themselves up by their bootstraps. 855-752-4842. I mean, it's pretty ridiculous. And of course, and all this is being led by and pushed by the richest man in the world. Come on. 855-75-CIVIC. Llama from Madison. I wouldn't care about the golf if he left everyone else alone. Yeah, right. I mean, it'd actually almost be worth the investment then, right? All right, here you go, Trump. Here's your $870 million. Just go away. Is that what's happening? It's like a hostage situation here. I'd like to know the breakdown on that $3 million, Todd from DePere said. Well, I think you mentioned it. A total cost for some of these trips, average being about $3.4 million, according to The Guardian. That includes flying Air Force One, along with a separate cargo plane that carries the presidential motorcade between Washington and Palm Beach International Airport. I mean, you got to have a second plane for the cars, man. I mean, that's how you know you're rolling.
Plus, it includes the Trump Hotel in D.C. Rooms, which are charged at $1,800 bucks a room per night, which is significantly more than Chinese business interests paid to stay there.
Well, yeah, wasn't he overcharging Secret Service? Right, that's the whole point. Yep. I mean, when you have a captured customer, man, you can do whatever you want. And are any folks bringing that up? Elon Musk, is that a concern for you? And I did see like some of these agency folks had their expense accounts capped at like $1. Well, you know what I mean? But again, okay with overcharging Secret Service at your crappy hotels. That's totally fine with these folks. Now, what do you make of that? What is your interpretation? I mean, sociopathic, is that it? I mean, it seems pretty strange to me. Again, I don't think you get to be the billionaire type without having some hoarder mentality, regardless of how good you are. Like, a lot of folks earned it. Don't get that, man. Understand that. Can appreciate that. Donald Trump, I'm not sure he earned it versus he's got it. And he may have been better off if he's put it in the market versus all of his little endeavors over the course of his career, let's call it. But the fact that we have people like Elon Musk and Donald Trump pissing money away left and right, and then coming to lecture us about what is efficient, what is fraud, right? What is mismanagement? And I got to tell you something, given the backgrounds of these folks, Elon Musk, President Trump, they know something about inefficiencies, right? They know something about fraud. Literally, dude, convicted of fraud. And Elon Musk got all sorts of problems with these Teslas, you know, quality control problems, let's call it. And that's not uncommon. Car companies do that. But it's just, you know, what happens to Tesla, it just seems like a little, it goes to show you. It goes to show you. Is he worried about the quality? Is he worried about his customer base? I mean, Europe's dropping off right now. I saw a poll like 97% of Germans will never buy one. And so he's ruining the brand. He's so upset. And folks, I mean, I'm not a fan of the Tesla trucks either. And I did actually, when they first came out, I was like, man, I'm going to get me an electric car. It makes sense. You know, it's better for the environment. Yeah, I'll get one. And then that was right when Tesla came out. And then, of course, now we all where we're at. And but hell no, would never buy a Tesla. I got a hybrid. That's fine with me. You can burn around town on the battery. That's okay. But not going to get a Tesla. Not when it represents, when he represents that brand. And therefore, you are that brand when you're driving that thing around. You like it or not, I get it. I got friends that are not like hardcore righties that have Teslas, and they're a little ashamed right now. And they qualify. Oh, I got this before you got crazy. Oh, okay, but still driving it around, man. But what is it about that mentality that people like Elon Musk, these billionaires, are going to lecture us, the rest of us, who will never have those opportunities, will never have that access, will never have that kind of bank, on how we're supposed to be efficient, on how we're supposed to run our lives, and how we're supposed to govern ourselves. Like, you got an idea? You got a better plan? Donald Trump, Elon Musk? And I guess we're seeing that right now. This is their plan. And they're getting shot down left and right by the courts. And then they're, oh, impeach the judges. I mean, you know, really, you can't just take the loss, because the losses are justified. They're righteous. You can't impound the money, President Trump. I mean, we went through that with Nixon, right? If Congress has the power of the purse strings and they determine, as they did with the last CR, Not the one you just signed, you know, that you're going to obviously trash as well. But the last continuing resolution that went through gave you a framework, gave us the framework of how the money's to be spent and where it's going to be allocated to. You don't like that, go through the budget process, work with your co-equal branches of government and have them, you know, come on, man, you got the Republicans in your pocket. Have them do it. But no, you got to do it fast. You got to do it quick. Lightning, right? The hose of everything. Well, now the pushback's coming from the courts. Oh, yeah, maybe this is actually Congress's responsibility, and you cannot impound. I mean, if Congress determines how the money's going to be spent and allocates the money, and then now the executive branch and Donald Trump have to enforce that and do that. If they can just at their whim decide, well, I'm not going to spend the money on that, although it's been, you know, it's legal through the process. Congress has done it, and it's a statute, and now it's a continuing resolution. We're just not going to do that. Well, if that is to be acceptable, as lots of these folks think it is now, at least that's how they're presenting it in court. If that would be the case, then that ultimately takes away the power of the purse from the Congress. You know what I mean? Because it's one thing to say, okay, we're gonna allocate this money for X, Y, and Z, but if the one who's in charge of making sure those things happen doesn't do it, you really don't have the power of the purse then, do you? Do you? And it is just so beyond the pale to have a guy with a golden toilet, a convicted fraudster, a civilly convicted rapist, telling us that these food pantries in Wisconsin for $4 million that are serving all these people, now you just don't need that. It doesn't effectuate our policies anymore. I mean, that's insulting, people. That is insulting. It's disparaging. It is sociopathic. When you're out there burning the money like you do, no problem there. No problem whatsoever. But if it goes for the people, for we the people that don't happen to be billionaires, well, then that's just total waste. Again, and what is all this about? Why are we doing it? Why are we going through these exercises? Why are we having a potential constitutional crisis? So Donald Trump and Elon Musk can somehow pay for $4.5 trillion in tax cuts. That's why we're doing this. That's the reason. That's the reason. Not because there's massive inefficiency. Maybe some here, maybe some there. I mean, anytime you get people in a room, you're going to have it. Government, business, clubs, nonprofits. I don't give a damn. You're going to get that. And some are run better than others. No question about it. But if I'm looking at like who's putting their, who's at the trough? A guy like Elon Musk making billions off the government, isn't he? You know what I mean? Why isn't that part of the question? Why isn't that part of the equation? The conversation of waste, fraud, and abuse. And the guy blew up another rocket and it shut down flights from a bunch of states because, oh, well, you know, fail fast. No, man. It's insulting and it's frustrating. And I really wonder, you know, when we talk to the MAGAs on their motivations for support for this guy, is this what you wanted? Was your big concern that there was a food pantry in upper northern Wisconsin that was feeding 11% of their county on this, that the $4 million budget for this thing, was that on top of your mind? Was that what you concerned about? Oh, these illegals. Oh, all of a sudden, the guy from the Dells who was on his vacation or honeymoon with his wife from Peru, she wasn't a legal, quote-unquote, citizen. Well, she's out. Had to take her ring off and put it in her backpack, give it to her husband. He's like, what the F do I do now? And apparently, according to that article, he was questioning his vote for Donald Trump. Yeah. Yes. And maybe, you know, we could have saved you the trouble. We talked about this. Maybe these kinds of actions would give those folks, I don't know, pause. Maybe look at things that we say and some other pundits and experts and commentators say as, wow, maybe we're onto something. Maybe we're not out here just trying to yank your chain. Maybe we actually are trying to support we the people. And maybe we believe in our rights for life, liberty, and our pursuit of happiness, whatever it may be for all of us people. Come back with us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Brad Schimmel, Donald Trump Jr., and Charlie Kirk walk into a bar.
Go, This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
I'm hungry. What's cooking?
Oh, no, not me. It's your turn.
Oh, we're back to taking turns?
Yes.
Well, how about Sugar River Pizza?
Oh, yeah, now they can cook.
I could really go for some of that 12-hour smoked pulled pork.
Ooh, and some pasta. Mm. Okay, now I'm hungry. Sugar River, here we come.
And they have that great kids menu, too.
We don't have any kids.
Right. That's beside the point. The point is, I'm hungry.
Hungry.
You're hungry.
Let's go.
Yes. And we should talk about having some kids.
Get in the car, Bob.
Sugar River, Sun Prairie, Verona, New Glarus, and catering.
Transform your outdoor space with David J. Frank, Wisconsin's award-winning landscape management company for 65 years. You've seen their beautiful work at Hilldale Shopping Center. From expert lawn care to seasonal flower beds, precise trimming and sustainable solutions, David J. Frank makes your vision a reality. And right now is the best time to prune or remove trees. Request your free quote today at davidjfrank.com and get on their list for spring cleanups. David J. Frank, 65 years of excellence in every blade of grass.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It's a phone line. It's a text line. Some of our texters are jumping in, so let's get to them patiently here. Tom from New Berlin, play the local courses with the people you love. Not, yeah, right. Donald Trump doesn't even know what love is besides the money. He loves the money. Mark from Sussex, our conservative buddy, really complaining about Trump golfing. Yeah, man, if you guys spent $500 million golfing and you're really worried about, you know, waste, fraud, and abuse, that seems to be part, you know, up for discussion, don't you think? This is coming from a party that lied for 4 years behind a president who had Alzheimer's and spent most of his time in his hometown getting lost on the beach. Well, yeah, old Biden, how the good old days, man. Thanks for playing, Mark. Appreciate it. But I got to tell you.
Wasn't there a well-respected Republican president who served with Alzheimer's and or dementia? I don't know. I can't seem to remember. Oh, Ronald Reagan. That's right.
That's right. Didn't that guy like jelly beans? I think he was very much revered by our former governor, Scott Walker. So, Mark, yeah, we can do this all day long, this guy, that guy. But if you're concerned about waste, fraud, and abuse, how much waste, fraud, and abuse has to come out of the Trump administration for you to think that's too much? Is it a billion? 10 billion? 500 billion? I'm just trying to, you know, get a number. So if and when we reach that amount, I know you'll be very critical of your dictator in chief. Thanks for playing. Cam says he wouldn't even pay his taxes and he steals our money to play golf and has the money to do his business. Yeah, right. Only the suckers pay taxes, Cam. I believe we heard Donald Trump say that before. I cannot repeat what else he said there. All right, here we go. Uncle Tony points out there's more waste in the Pentagon than all others put together. The elimination of competition for weapon systems calls monopolies for each system. With any monopoly, you get charged whatever they feel like charging. Oh, yes. Yes, we do. I don't know. I wouldn't worry about it too much, though, Uncle Tony. I think Pete Hegseth is on the case. And, you know, if he's got a beer fridge, he'll work all night long. Dana from La Crosse, at this stage, the money is secondary. They crave more power. Look for Insurrection Act or Martial Law on April 20th, Hitler's birthday. Oh, man. Hitler's birthday is at 420? That sucks.
It's also my mom's birthday. It's a very weird combination.
You're right. Yes, yes, it is. F, man, Mark would complain about Biden breathing. Well, yeah, I think they pulled a Hunter's Secret Service as well, because, you know, that's not petty or anything. 855-752-4842. Tom points out, don't lecture us progressives on money and spending. Yeah, same thing goes any Republican. William Jefferson Clinton was the only one who had a balanced budget. Yeah, and that's a great point. And again, why are we going through these machinations? Why are we going through the short-term pain for the long-term gain? We're resetting our trade policies, which he already renegotiated NAFTA to USMCA, and now he can't even follow through on that. His own deal, he's peeing on because he doesn't like it now. I mean, so much back and forth with this guy. Man, I would put this guy in charge of a popsicle stand, let alone the United States of America. So thank you, Mark from Sussex, and all you megas out there. But we do have a chance to have call it a referendum on where we stand on this election or on this administration. And specifically, the April 1st Wisconsin Supreme Court election. And, you know, my parents always, they were kind of tried to be strict. They tried. I didn't listen a lot. I was in trouble a lot. I was grounded a lot. But one of the things they always commented on was, you know, you are who you hang out with. You know, at the end of the day, you are who you run with. And not only that, when I'm out in public, I represent the Salvia family. A lot of pressure. You know, it's like saying only you can prevent forest fires. Like, only me? Man, I don't know if I can live with that kind of pressure. And so who do you hang out with, man? Well, I'm hanging out with Zommers today. I got you folks on the lines and on the text lines, 855-752-4842. And who's Brad Schimmel hanging out with? Donald Trump Jr. and the bad Kirk. Not James T. Kirk from Star Trek. Charlie Kirk. He should have to change his name. They came to a rally for Schimmel in the Wisconsin Supreme Court election. Donald Trump Jr. and Turning Point Action founder Charlie Kirk made their pitch to an audience of hundreds, literally hundreds, framing the contest as bigger than one race in Midwestern state in an off-year election. Well, judging by how much people have thrown at this election, yeah, over 100 million, that's a lot. Kirk quoted the Wall Street Journal story that called the race the most important contest of 2025. I would concur with the Wall Street Journal. On April 1, Schimmel will go head-to-head with liberal Dane County Judge Susan Crawford for a seat on a 7-member court that will determine whether liberals or conservatives hold a majority. Here's what the bad Kirk said. We understand that these kinds of races that people don't always hear about, they can tip the scales of the entire future of the republic. Now, we had conservative Wisconsin Supreme Court judges here for way too long. Now, Trump Jr. emphasized that judges in several states have issued orders that sidetracked actions by his father's administration in the first 6 weeks of the presidency. Yeah, because they're unconstitutional and overreaching, Jr. He said voters in Wisconsin need to make sure that doesn't happen here. He called Crawford a radical leftist. You have to engage because it's not just about now. It's about the future. This presidency can be put to a halt with this vote. Let me just say that again for you folks out there wondering whether or not you should go out there and vote for Susan Crawford on April 1st. This is what her opponents are saying. This presidency can be put to a halt with this vote. So there's your motivation, folks. What else do you need? Joe Onslin, a spokesman for the Dem Party, issued a statement in response to Junior's visit saying Schimmel, quote, was busy bending the knee to Trump, any Trump he can find. Oh, yeah, we know that about Schimmel, man. He was buying all those knee pads at Menards. Hey, come back with us, folks. The courts are weighing in on Donald Trump's unconstitutional executive orders, 855-752-4842. Plus, are you mad at the Democratic Party or at least the leadership thereof? Join us.
A new choice.
Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, a former Democrat convicted of bribery, among other things, now turning to help from the president. An update on Gold Bar Bob tomorrow. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder.
It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. After the U.S. carved out a 30-day ceasefire deal and got Ukraine's backing, President Trump today spoke with Russia's leader but did not get Vladimir Putin to agree, but he did to different terms. ABC's James Longman is in Kyiv.
And one imagines that the Trump administration has to reach out to President Zelensky to see if he's interested in this deal, because it is a new deal. Remember, Ukraine agreed to a conditionless ceasefire on the battlefield. What has now been agreed with President Putin is an agreement to stop hitting energy infrastructure, a mutual agreement if the Ukrainians agree. It's got nothing to do with the battlefield.
The threat of wildfires continuing across parts of the South and Midwest today, and a winter blast could impact residents from Nevada to Nebraska. The two astronauts who traveled to the International Space Station last June aboard the troubled Boeing Starliner are returning to Earth on a SpaceX mission splashdown off the coast of Florida. This is ABC News.